I've told a lot of stories to you about my trip to the Holy Land last year. And for those who don't know, or for those who have not been listening, maybe, from January to March of last year, I was in Israel and Palestine to study, pray, to buy new eyeglasses, and to prepare myself for priesthood by following the steps of Christ, who is the high priest, and who's also Jesus, that boy from Nazareth. As you might imagine, if you send 42 20-somethings, classmates, to the Middle East, plenty of adventurous fun is bound to ensue. At the same time, being face-to-face with the places where Jesus really lived and seeing what his life was really like is intense, and it's emotionally overwhelming. One of the hardest days for me came on February 3rd when we visited the Jordan River and the Mountain of Temptations. The place where Jesus was baptized in the Jordan is an incredible place. Earlier in his gospel from our passage today, Mark tells us that as John baptized Jesus, that the Lord came up out of the water and a dove descended upon him, and that a voice was heard from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And we believe that that happens to every person, man or woman, who dies with Christ in the waters of baptism, that they rise from those waters reborn as a new creation, claimed and adopted by the Father as his beloved son or daughter, and that this sonship or daughtership serves as the foundational identity of the Christian, that we're not defined by our sins or failures or weaknesses or shortcomings, but by that relationship of sonship or daughtership to God the Father. St. John Paul II said it best, that we are not defined by our weaknesses and failures, but we are the sum of the Father's love for us. We believe that on the day we were made new in the waters of baptism, that we became children of God, and that the good and merciful Father makes the promise never to abandon us, to love us and to forgive us, and that when the time comes, he will give us a share of his kingdom. So, needless to say, sitting near the Jordan River and being able to walk around in its waters, I felt a surge of love from God to me and from me to him. It was really something remarkable. At a time when I was coming up to my ordination as a deacon, and I was in the middle of a difficult situation with a close friend on the trip, the surge of love was powerful and very welcome. And the time came for us to leave that sacred place. We traveled from there to a town called Jericho, which boasts of being the oldest continually occupied city on earth, having been founded 10,000 years ago. High above the city of Jericho in the mountains is a Greek Orthodox monastery built into the side of the mountain, and it's the place we heard about in the gospel today, where Jesus spent 40 days being tempted in the desert. And this is where things took a little interesting turn. Sitting there in the choir stalls where the monks would pray, I began to meditate on Matthew's much more descriptive account of Jesus' temptation. The devil tries to get the best of Jesus. "If you are the Son of God, you'll tell these stones to become bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself off this mountain and tell your angels to come catch you. I will give you everything if only you bow down and worship me." He's questioning the very sonship, the identity of Jesus. And Jesus does not give in to the temptation, and instead he says, "Away from me, Satan." So there I was, mere months away from promising to give my life to Christ and his church, riding high on freedom and feelings of love from the Jordan River. And in that place of temptation, I was suddenly convicted. It was like an arrow going straight through me. I was suddenly convicted of how little love I had been showing to the Lord, how much I had received from God, who is my Father, how full of gratitude I was for his work in me and for me and around me and through me. but how selfish I had been. How often I had given in to temptation, left and right. How quick I was to forget him, right in the times when I needed him the most. I had gone soft on my promises that I make over and over again in confession. I resolved to sin no more and to avoid what leads me to sin. How far I was from being the man, the brother, and the son that I wanted to be, and indeed pretended that I was. Now that might sound like some harsh self-condemnation. And it's true that God's not out to condemn us. But sometimes, as many of you are used to doing with your children or are used to experiencing from your parents, the Father at times chastises us because he wants to remind us whose we are and of our dignity that we inherited at the moment of our baptism. These reminders from God, while kind of harsh, they happen every now and then in the life of the disciple. And they are truly acts of mercy from God, because they often come in the form of a divine knock upside the head. That day on the Mount of Temptation was a painful day for me, but in hindsight, it was a major turning point. Here's why. At that time, I think I was probably the unhappiest I maybe have ever been. It was a time when my battle with anxiety and a little bit of depression was at its worst, and I really was afraid of pretty much everything. And I don't say that as an exaggeration. I say that because it's true. At a time like that, I was searching for literally anything to make me happy and to take pain away. And if that meant sin, if that meant stupid decisions, if it meant pride or vanity or lust or gluttony or envy or greed or laziness or anger, so be it. At a time when I was in the midst of my own season of temptation, like Jesus was on that mountain, Jesus reached directly into that moment with his call. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent. It's the Greek word metanoia. And it literally means a transformative change of heart or mind. Every day I get in my email, it's from a French community called it's called the Emmanuel community, and they send out daily gospel reflections called God is with us today. Dieu avec nous aujourd'hui. And in French, in the gospel, the word is not repent or metanoia. In French, it says, convertissez-vous. Convert yourself. Turn around. And what I learned as a result of that day on the mountain is something that I want to share with all of you as we begin another Lent. Repent and believe in the gospel. What is at the heart of the Christian gospel, of the good news of Christ? That the pain does end, that sin is dumb, and it's a waste of time. And that no matter what is going on in you, around you, there is always a way out. Believe in him. Believe in the gospel. Find in him the reassurance, the peace, and the happiness that you seek. Again, from John Paul II. It is Jesus that you seek when you dream of happiness. He is waiting for you when nothing else you find satisfies you. He is the beauty to which you are so attracted. It is he who provoked you with that thirst for fullness that will not let you settle for compromise. It is he who urges you to shed the masks of a false life. It is he who reads in your heart your most genuine choices, the choices that others try to stifle. It is Jesus who stirs in you the desire to do something great with your life, the will to follow an ideal, the refusal to allow yourselves to be ground down by mediocrity, the courage to commit yourself humbly and patiently to improving yourselves and society, making the world more human and more fraternal. It is Jesus that you seek, whether you know it or not, when you dream of happiness. When you dream of an end to confusion and temptation, it is Jesus and his promise of resurrection and of the newness and fullness of life in him that we all are seeking. And this is truly good news, that he is here, and he is alive, and he is risen. He lives in you and in me. But more than anything, he lives for us as the bread of life, available to you and to me for free from this altar. As you come forward to receive him in Holy Communion this morning, realize that the one you seek, the one that you desire, and the one that each of us truly needs, the one that we need to come and to speak to us words of peace and encouragement and of freedom, is here. In my pain in the Holy Land, and still even today, it is Jesus that I seek. In the distress and difficulty, in the joy and success of your life, it is Jesus that you seek, and he is here. Live the life this Lent that you promised him you'd live, as on the cross he gives you this Lent, the life he promised you he'd give. Repent and believe. Amen.